Well, good morning. It's nice to see you. We're starting another year. Some little changes, new faces, and we're glad to see all of you. Now, what we're going to do this morning is what I might call a little revision. A little revision. You know, there's many a piece of equipment on a farm that only gets used occasionally. Maybe items used in harvesting. And when the harvest's over, they're stored until next year. Now, when next year's harvest comes round, the farmer, if he's a wise man, will take the machine out, oil it, loosen up all the working parts, and make sure they are working. So, when we once again take up our study of the Bible, I've got to oil your creaking joints and shake you up a little bit and bring to the surface of your mind what it was we were studying. The theme, the title of our studies was Pictures of Christ in the Bible. We covered quite a bit of territory from September last year through to June of this year. We started in Genesis and we looked at some of the pictures that we see in the Bible of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes it was seen in a person. That person reflected much of the person of the Lord Jesus. Sometimes we saw in the activities and actions that which the Lord Jesus works for his people. We ended up in Joshua, so we covered from Genesis through to Joshua. But before we begin, back again in Joshua, I want to, as I said, refresh your memories and bring to the surface the whole subject matter of what it is we're looking at. Let me just read, and I hope you look these up as well. 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and the verse 6. And here we have Paul writing to Timothy, a young man, a young preacher, and he says to him, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Underline the word remembrance. So it's very obviously one of the duties of a minister to remind people. Teach them, then go back over it and remind them of that. Turn to 2 Timothy. And again, you have the same thought. Verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Of these things, put them in remembrance. So there's things that have to be brought before the minds of the people of God again and again and again. But we do have a tendency to forget. Now you know that. You know that. I'm sure already the teacher has discovered that the things that were most diligently taught to you in the last week or so of June, you've sort of forgotten, and you need to be reminded of it. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Let me show you one other verse. It's in Jude. That's the last book of the Bible, but one. Jude. And it's the verse 5. And there again you find the same requirement. Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Reminding. Stirring up the memory. Bringing up to the surface things that had been taught in the past, and which perhaps we might forget. Well, what I want to do then today in the will of the Lord is just emphasize the theme that we're looking at in our series of studies. We're looking at pictures of Christ. Pictures of Christ in the Bible. Now perhaps you might find it a little strange that we should find pictures of Christ in the Bible. Now, when I talk about pictures, of course, I'm not talking about those things that are phones, etc., take. You can have pictures that are not exactly of that nature. You can have pencil drawings that are pictures. Now, in the Bible, we have pictures of a slightly different sort. Word pictures. Word pictures. And we can see in the representations of individuals a likeness to the Lord Jesus. We can see how certain individuals, yes, I can see the love of the Savior, the grace of the Savior, the mercy of the Savior, the courage of the Savior, there in that person. And that's what we're looking for. Now, it's not surprising that we should find such pictures in the Bible. And I want to just emphasize that. First and foremost, turn to the Gospel of John and the very first verse of the Gospel of John. The very first verse of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, here's the Savior. And look at the title he has. He's called the Word of God. He's called the Word of God. Now, it wouldn't be surprising, therefore, that when we look in the written Word of God, we should find pictures of the living Word of God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. He has as a title the Word of God. And therefore we must expect to find that he is the subject of the Bible. When you go to the shelves in the library and you take down a geography book, what's it going to be talking about? Painting? No. Geography. When you take down a maths book, what's it going to be talking about? Maths. So when you come to the Word of God, what's it going to be speaking to us about? The Lord Jesus, who is the Word of God. Look further down, John's Gospel, chapter 1 and the verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. That is, the Lord Jesus took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh. He became man, taking into union with his divine nature, spotless, sinless, human nature. The Lord Jesus has two natures, a human and a divine nature. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, when you, if you lived in the days of the disciples, when you met the Lord Jesus, you saw the living Word of God. One who was, to use a big word, the personification of all that this book has to say. The word personification means all that this book has to say was set forth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you and I study here in the mornings pictures of Christ in the Bible, that's not surprising. We're coming to the very heart of the subject matter of the Bible. In Revelation, the chapter 19, and this shows us a wonderful event. It's the return of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. Revelation chapter 19, and look at the verse 13. Verse 13, and he was clothed with vesture, dipped in blood. See, he was coming to wage war. He was coming as a soldier. He was coming as a warrior. He was coming to conquer his enemies. It was their blood that was on his garments as he came to judge them and destroy them. But look at the title. And his name is called the Word of God. Oh, boys and girls, this world laughs at the Bible, mocks the Bible, tells us that is not true. It's a lot of fairy tales. When we were giving out literature in Ballinamallard, I got a message from somebody who had received the literature, and they very clearly expressed themselves as having no regard for the Bible. It was a load of rubbish, fit only for the bin. But one day, the Lord Jesus is going to come again, and He will come with the name, the Word of God. When people mock the Bible, they're mocking Christ. They're despising the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, let me show you that the Savior Himself tells us very clearly that when we turn to the Bible, there we may expect to find Him. I'm going visiting this afternoon. Looking forward to it. I'm going to a house, and I expect to find a certain person in that house. It's their house. I'm not going to go next door because I don't expect to find them next door. I go to where they dwell, and I'll find them there. When you come to the Bible, you can expect to find the Savior there. Listen to what He has to say, and again, you turn these up. John again. John's Gospel is a great gospel for verses such as these. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We're looking at the verse 39. And ye have not His word abiding in you. For whom He hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. The word testify means to bear witness. They speak of me. This is what the Savior says. This book speaks of Him. When you turn to this Bible, if your ear is open, if you're listening to God's Word, you will hear the voice of the Lord Jesus. He's here in this book. Look at the verse 46 of the same chapter. Verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. He wrote of me. When Moses was writing, and remember, he wrote the first five books of the Bible. That's a very large section of the Bible. He wrote those books. And what was he writing about? The Lord Jesus. Oh, he wrote the law. He wrote the history of the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt and their journeying through the wilderness. But overall, what was the story? It was about the Lord Jesus. What He was doing amongst His people. We could go to other verses. For instance, in Acts chapter 8 and the verse 35, you have there the encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian man. And the Ethiopian man is sitting in his chariot and he's reading Isaiah chapter 53. And he's puzzled because in Isaiah chapter 53, there is a reference made all the time. And what is the chapter about? He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the man's reading down this chapter and he's saying, who is this? Who is this? And Philip, he comes and he meets him and he sees him reading the Bible, hears him reading the Bible. And he says, do you understand that? And he says, how can I except some man help me and explain it? And so Philip's taken up into the chariot. And we are told that Philip began at that very scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. So he answered the man's question, who is this? It's the Lord Jesus. So Isaiah was speaking of, was writing about the Lord Jesus. I tell you, boys and girls, when you come to the Bible, you can expect to find the words of the Savior, pictures of the Savior, the very voice of the Savior. If you look at the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, look at the verse 27. You remember, the Savior has come to those two who were traveling on the road to Emmaus, and he's talking to them. Of course, the two on the road to Emmaus, for this is after the crucifixion. They're filled with sorrow and grief that the Lord Jesus has been crucified. They can't understand it. And the Savior says in verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So the Savior took them, as it were, on a tour of the Old Testament scriptures, and he showed them pictures of himself. And among the pictures he would have shown them was a picture of him dying on the cross, because Isaiah 53, for instance, gives us a picture of Jesus dying on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions, etc. Oh, I tell you, the Bible's full of the Lord Jesus. Quickly look at another verse there in that chapter 24. It's the verse 44. Now he's talking to the rest of the disciples, the group of disciples, and he says unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me." See? The Savior's the subject of all of the scriptures. All of the scriptures. I'll show you one last verse. Right at the beginning of the Bible. Right at the beginning of the Bible. And here we have, as it were, an introduction to the Lord Jesus Christ. Right at the beginning of the book of Genesis, the chapter 3. The book of Genesis, the chapter 3, and the verse 8. Listen to what it says. "And they heard," that is, Adam and Eve, "heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day." They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Does a voice walk? No. But a person who has the title, the voice of the Lord God, that person can walk. And that is who is referred to here. It's the Lord Jesus. He's the voice of the Lord God. So I tell you, boys and girls, when you turn to the Bible, you can expect to see and to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be taking up the subject then that we looked at throughout last year, pictures of Christ, when I'm with you on Thursday in the will of the Lord. And I hope that today there's been a little oiling of the machinery of our memories, so that we'll be coming to the Bible fully prepared to look for pictures of Christ. The Lord bless you. Now let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll finish. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Give us an understanding of it. I pray that the boys and the girls, particularly, Lord, might have an understanding. Oh, that they might learn to look for the Lord Jesus in their Bibles, and to love Him and to worship Him as they see Him thus presented to them. Answer prayer for us now today. Bless the school. Lord, keep it by Thy grace and power. Bless each little one here. Bless each little one, Lord. Draw near to them. We ask in the Savior's name. Amen. And amen.